AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Hey, it's 8:06 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for joining us. What's going to be a beautiful Wednesday in the area. High is going to be in the mid-60s to low 70s with sunshine today. On the show this morning, first, David Stebe, Washington 17th District State Representative, is going to join us from Olympia, and we'll talk about, you know, where we're at, some new proposals from the Democratic side of the chambers came out yesterday. We'll talk a little bit about that. We also, I'm thinking, talk about at least we'll see if we can get some update maybe on the bridge. We can get some update on Gorge Commission, etc. All of that coming up a little bit later. Then we'll talk to Rich Polkinghorne, White Sand Valley School District Superintendent. They yesterday had another one of their facilities planning committee meetings. And I believe they were going to get a look at what a K-12 campus would look like if they were to go that route. And we will discuss that with Rich this morning. But first, as we always do, let's tell you about what this day has meant and what it means at least to some people. 1945, a Soviet submarine in the Baltic Sea torpedoed the ship MV Goya, which Germany was using to transport civilian refugees and wounded soldiers. As many as 7,000 people died as the ship broke apart and sank minutes after being struck. In 1947, the French cargo ship Grand Camp, carrying over 2,000 tons of ammonium nitrate, blew up in the harbor in Texas City, Texas. A nearby ship, the High Flyer, which was carrying ammonium nitrate and sulfur, caught fire and exploded the following day. The combined blasts and fires killed nearly 600 people, injured 5,000 in the worst industrial accident in American history. 1963, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. wrote his letter from Birmingham Jail, in which the civil rights activist responded to a group of local clergymen who had criticized him for leading street protests. King defended his tactics, writing, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." 1972, Apollo 16 blasted off for the moon with astronauts John Young, Charles Duke, and Ken Mattingly on board. 2007, Sung Wee Chow, a 23-year-old Virginia Tech student, killed 32 people on the Virginia Tech campus before taking his own life. It remains the deadliest school history shooting, rather, in U.S. history. They mistyped that. I'm not quite sure what level it hit in U.S. history there. I'm going to be careful there. The Associated Press, where we get these from, it the sentence, there's words left out here. 2010, the U.S. government accused Wall Street's most powerful firm of fraud, saying Goldman Sachs and Company had sold mortgage investments while telling buyers the securities were crafted with input from a client who was betting on them to fail. In July 2010, Goldman agreed to pay $550 million in a settlement with the Securities and Exchange Commission, but did not admit wrongdoing. And in 2012, a trial began in Oslo, Norway for Anders Breivik, charged with killing 77 people in a bomb and gun rampage in July 2011. Breivik was found guilty of terrorism and premeditated murder and given a 21-year prison sentence. Days for today, it's the day of the mushroom. It's National Bean Counters Day today, day after tax day for the accountants out there. National Bookmobile Day today, it's also National Librarian Day today. It's National Orchid Day. National Stress Awareness Day, if you have any stress, you should be aware of it. It's National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day, if you are in such a position to do so, which you might want to check first. It's Save the Elephant Day. We heard on the news about Oregon Zoo and their efforts to save the Bornean elephant. And it's World Semicolon Day today as well. Food today, it's National Eggs Benedict Day. If you haven't had breakfast yet, there's an option for you. And it's National Banana Day today. So we salute the banana. That is a personal favorite of mine as far as fruit goes. So there it all is for what it's worth. May not be a whole lot. 8:10 in the morning. When we come back, we'll talk Washington Legislature with David Stebe after this.
I am Christine Douglas. I work here in patient services at Skyline Health. My main job is registration and answering any questions our patients have. I know when people are here, they're here because they're in pain and they need help. At Skyline, we treat every patient as an individual. I'm here to serve because these are my people, my friends, my kids, and my neighbors. I'm reminded every day of how lucky I am to work in such a close, caring, and beautiful community. I am Skyline.
Hi there, this is Michelle from Hood River Supply. Use our Senex Premium Ethanol-Free Fuel for all your outdoor power tools and mowers. Boating, road tripping, or going for a motorcycle ride? Treat your ride to the best. Hood River Supply Senex has a dedicated 100% ethanol-free pump, so you'll get better fuel efficiency, engine performance, and protection for your small engine and older cars. Keeping your vehicle fueled and ready for when you're making the great outdoors great, Hood River Supply Senex, powered locally in the Heights and Hood River.
At McCoy Holliston Insurance, we're proud to serve the Columbia River Gorge since 1946 with the same dedication to our clients that's made us your trusted choice for generations. Hi, this is Nicole. We're honored to be voted Best Insurance Agency in the Gorge 4 years in a row. Whether it's protecting your home, auto, business, farm, or planning for life's unexpected moments, our experienced team is here for you every step of the way. Call us at McCoy Holliston Insurance in White Salmon today and experience the service you deserve.
At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling Grandma for her recipe, no-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m., big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas, the ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 5/19/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store single-line activation on qualifying plan. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:12 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today, Washington State 17th District Representative David Stebe joins us. Good morning, David.
Well, actually, Mark, this is John Santias. Representative Stebe was here until about 11 o'clock last night and missed the schedule, but he's on the phone with me here, and he's going to give you a call right as soon as we finish up. So my apologies to the misunderstanding, but he's going to give you a call as soon as we finish up here.
Okay, well, what we'll do is we'll go on ahead and take a quick break, and I'll let him call.
Okay, that's perfect.
Easy.
Thank you very much.
Easy enough to do. Okay, 8:13 in the morning. We will. I'll take a quick break of some kind here. I'll find something we can put on here for a minute, and we'll do that, and hopefully have a. I'll hang up a phone here, so I'll be able to hook him up here. We'll have David Stebe for you after this.
The annual Columbia Gorge Toyota and Honda Easter Egg Scramble is happening Saturday, April 19th at the Lewis and Clark Festival Park in the Dalles. The scramble starts at 11 a.m. with separate areas for age groups 1 to 10. Each group will have their own start time. Snap pictures with the Easter Bunny and grab a prize egg out of the Columbia Gorge Toyota and Honda trunk. Kids will have fun scrambling and collecting plastic eggs filled with candy certificates and prizes. The Columbia Gorge Toyota and Honda Easter Egg Scramble, presented by Bicoastal Media, Casa El Mirador, Cascade Square Merchants, Columbia Gorge Affordable Homes and Crestline Construction, Camp Morrow, and Walmart of the Gorge.
Happy Easter!
Candy sponsors are Jacobs, Ba Kitchen Bakery, the House of Alamode Yarn Shop, La Michoacana Variety Store, the Gorge Granite Works, and Shannon's Ice Cream Shop. Join us at the annual Columbia Gorge Toyota and Honda Easter Egg Scramble, Saturday, April 19th. For more info, go to GorgeRadio.com. Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:14 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today, and now we have with us Washington State 17th District Representative David Stebe. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Let's jump in here. First of all, we'll start locally here, and don't know if there's any updates or not, but I'll start first of all with Hood River White Salmon Interstate Bridge funding. Where is that sitting right now?
So I think we're sitting good. We know we've got money, but here's the deal. You know, and again, thanks for following me on this ride, and apologize, I had to call in remotely. This is probably day three of going like 12, 15, 12 hours of floor action. And, you know, this is all new to me. So, you know, we go in at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we work, and we're in the Capitol. My office is, you know, across the street, not across the street, across the parking lot. And we can't leave the Capitol building because we can be called on the floor at any time. And so we're waiting for the majority to come up with these run lists. And so it's all the different bills, right, for the whole state. And they come out of every committee. And so you're waiting for these bills to be run. And all of a sudden, we get a list as the minority, and so we have to caucus. We go into the caucus room, and then we have to brief all the bills. And if we don't like the bills, then we come up with amendments to try and make these bills better. And so then we have to, they call it, you put it on the bar, so... Yeah, it's, you know, up on the atrium, you put these amendments up there, and then when the bill comes out, you know, you have to say, okay, this is the amendment that I want to propose, and you have to explain why it's good, and then on the other side, you know, they'll be like, either they'll accept it or they won't accept it. But we've been doing that from like 9 to, I think we finished at like 2:40 in the morning. That's a long time. So three nights in a row we've been doing that. So last night we got off early. It was almost midnight when we finished last night. So yeah, that's why I didn't make it into the studio. And we start again at 10, and who knows how late we go tonight. But yeah, some good bills are getting passed, but the one for the bridge, that's to be the budget. And so we've had floor action, but we haven't spent time. I think that's next week where we're going to be really going into the budget and seeing what we've got. Hmm. So, yeah, we've got the capital budget. We've got the transportation budget. So that's going to be a new phase for me to see how all that goes. Hmm. Where we stand on the bridge, we put in all our requests, and they've kind of divvied out the money, but they haven't really showed it to us yet because they're still in their groups working. Everybody has their kind of wish list, and now it's going to be, I think, the next phase of them really saying, okay, here's where we're going to be able to come up for funding for all these projects. I think, you know, my biggest issue is a lot of money with the budget is, you know, going to a lot of these special projects. And what I want to make sure that happens, and I even said this on the floor, it was, you know, what I'm worried about is the basic stuff. You know, I want our potholes built. You know, we need bridges. Like going back to the small bridge in Kamishwashugal, I almost fell through that a couple weeks ago. And I think I mentioned that on this radio station. But it's like, you know, it's great that we're thinking about, you know, electrifying buses and ferries and all that. And, you know, making sure that we have all these carve-outs and health care and giving all these things away, you know, that's very needed, but you know, who's going to pay for all that stuff? But what about our basic needs? You know, and that's, I keep going back to the basic stuff, you know, potholes, fixing bridges, you know, making sure we have enough police officers out there, you know, working a lot of criminal things. And yeah, it's great that, you know, you're giving people, second chances and third chances. And instead of being hard on crime, it's like, well, you know, we got to make sure that, you know, they can drive to the store and, you know, they might have kids at home. And so, you know, how are they going to support their families and all this stuff? So we're going to give them 4 strikes instead of 3 strikes. And, you know, I'm totally opposed to all that stuff. But they're like, well, you know, let's put those blow things in the cars where the car won't start unless they can, you know, go into a device and then it'll start. Or speed governors, you know, for the guys that are chronically speeding out there. And it's like, you know what, I'm all about the consequences. I think they lose their right. And it's not even a right, it's a privilege to be able to drive. And, you know, they want all this free transit. Well, then don't give them their car back. Make them ride this electric bus. So, I don't know. There is so much, Mark, going through my head. I can't tell you how many bills we've gone through out there and briefed and approved. But, you know, for your listeners out there, please stay involved. Look, you can actually go to our TVW site, and John can give you that later, but you can actually watch up for action. It's funny. I think the biggest one we have is Twitter. More people watch us on Twitter and follow us late into the night. And I walk into the caucus room where we have a gentleman who's running all that. And it's amazing how many people are actually following us and watching the debates and what's been going on with all this floor action. So I know I've been talking a lot, but yeah, I got to say, it's been fun. I'm learning so much. This floor action is where the parties come together, I think, well, at least individually. So, you know, we're, as a team, we're coming together with strategies to get, you know, our messages, our bills passed, our priorities, I think, passed, or at least getting bills better, where we think that's going to be what's best for our Washingtonians.
I'm going to assume, based on what you told me with the budget, so about the bridge at this point, I assume nothing new on the Gorge Commission as well, so I'm just going to move on from that. And
nothing
There was yesterday a lot of tax proposals brought up, apparently. Business and capital gains tax hikes, sales taxes on services, property tax collections by state and local governments. I'm just running through an AP story here because it's a lengthy list here.
Yeah.
Expanded tax on nicotine products, mandate for some large businesses to make a one-time prepayment of sales tax owed to the state, which I'm trying to figure out how that would work particularly. I guess just your general thoughts on that, because there's a laundry list of them here, and apparently would... $16 billion, I guess, is the shortfall. I'm not sure if this makes it all the way through or not, but just your general thoughts on what came out, at least what you heard about on these.
Yeah, so that's our big thing, and we're trying. There's a whole game and strategy with this, and you know, they're really simple, easy bills, but then there are some really hard ones. I think the hardest one we had, and probably the highest number of viewers, was this Parental Rights Act, or Parental Rights Bill. And we really want our parents to be involved in the kids' education. And so there's a lot of parts in this bill where a 13-year-old, if they want, can check out of school by themselves without the parent knowing. And there was testimony given of a case where, you know, mom brought her kid to school, dropped her off, went to work, came back to pick her kid up, and the kid was gone. And like a 13-year-old, I'm not exactly sure of the age, but it was close to that. And the parent wanted to know where the child was, and what they had done was taken her off to a doctor's appointment or something, and the kid wanted to go see the family doctor. But the parent wasn't informed in that. And so, you know, the mom was spending all this time trying to figure out, and they wouldn't give the information to the parent because a 13-year-old had the protection of not having that information divulged. And that's just one bad part of this bill. And so we spent a lot of time fighting this. And so we must have thrown out like 40 amendments, you know, to say, okay, this is wrong, this is wrong. You know, so we wanted to throw out this amendment. And that was why, like, one bill we spent 7 hours going through these amendments, and I would say probably every one of them was rejected. And they could do that because they have the majority. But let's see, with all the other stuff, and to kind of get back to your question on that, they're kind of holding the big one. There's another big one that's going to be coming up, and it's called the repackaging bill, and it's kind of under the disguise of a recycling bill. And, you know, everybody wants Washington to be cleaner, and you have the litter and the trash to be gone. You know, we've got a big sporting event coming up in Seattle here in about a year, and so we're looking at, you know, hey, we want to be proud of this state. But the problem is, if we all of a sudden bring in this nonprofit company, they are going to, without any government regulation, run the state recycling company. And so right now, we have curbside collection of trash. But that's good in dense populated areas. But if you're out in some of these rural areas, to be required to separate all your trash, and, you know, you're going to be educated. Instead of having 3 bins, you're going to have 4 bins. And, you know, special plastics go into this, special bottles or glass go into this one. And, yeah, it's big picture, it's a great idea, but mandating that on the whole state and having one company, nonprofit, who has never worked in this state, they're being told how to function by the state, but no supervision, no audits. That's what's scaring us. And so we're now telling people, or all the manufacturers, that, okay, you know what, you have to repackage everything from cereal boxes to, you know, a sack of apples. If we are telling them, okay, this is how you have to do it, so we can take all this packaging material back, and then we can repurpose all that and make it easier, it's going to be expensive, and it's just going to be a pass-on tax. Because the producers, they're going to say, you know what, okay, if you're going to make us do this, it's going to cost us this much more money to conform to your regulations. We're just going to add that to a box of cereal. We're going to add that to, you know, a container of applesauce. And so that is going to raise the price of groceries. And so we're worried about that. And so we've been fighting that, putting amendments together, and trying to really kill that bill. So that's just one example of one bill. But there's a bunch of those that we're waiting to come out, and that's when we have to respond really quick to our amendments to try and kill some of these really bad bills. Did that answer that question, Mark?
No, actually, I was looking for, I was going into the budget and taxes. Frankly, these other ones, I'm just, you know, to me, for the state of Washington, the big question is the money. That, you know, everything else to me is just sideline filler at that point.
I guess what I'm trying to say, and you got to realize, Mark, that I'm operating off of 3 days of no sleep. But the bottom line with this, all these things are going to raise our taxes, and that's what we're worried about. I can't tell you how many of these bills, they're great, you know, we're taking care of people, you know, immigrants, all this stuff, but it's, you know, Clean Climate Act, you know, the fuel stuff. Everything is a domino, and everything that we pass, there's a fiscal note to it, and that fiscal note is going to come out of our pocket, and that's the tax. That's what we're trying to prevent and take care. We want to be able to hold on to our money, and all these programs have a fiscal note. And so to get to your answer with that, we're in the hole $14 billion. I've seen from 7 to 14. But I think what we're counting on is the governor. And the governor did. You know, he looked at these budgets and he goes, that's not going to work. You're going to have to come up with something better. So that's why all the budget committees are back at the drawing board trying to negotiate different packages that are going to be more acceptable. So that's going to be the interesting thing next week when we start seeing those things. But that's going to be next week when we see all that stuff.
David, thanks for the time. I do got to run. We've gone over the bottom of the hour, so we need to get rolling here. We've got another guest coming up. But David, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for your time. Thanks for following me on this ride. And man, I'm learning so much. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thank you, David. David Stebe, Washington State Representative, 17th District. 8:33, we'll do a quick news break after this.
Hi there, I'm Sonny with Sky Heating, AC, Plumbing, and Electrical. The new year is here. Let Sky handle your HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs so you can focus on what matters most. Plus, right now, you can get up to $100 off any repair and keep a little extra in your pocket. Visit skyheating.com today to learn more. Oregon CCB number 245538. Washington license, SKYHEHA 7635M.
With warm weather fast approaching, now's the time to test your vehicle's air conditioning system. Not blowing very cold or not cold at all? It's time to call the experts at Precision Automotive. They're trained and certified to repair your vehicle's air conditioning system. And they offer same-day service at competitive prices. Give Chris or Alina a call at 541-296-5153 and get that AC blowing cool. Precision Automotive, 296-5153, or on the web at precisionautotd.com.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
8:34 in the morning in the news, a third person arrested in the death of a Hood River man Friday afternoon. Hood River Police Chief Neil Holstein says the Columbia Gorge Major Crimes Team arrested 31-year-old Jonathan Bradley Matthews in the Dalles on Tuesday. Matthews booked and charged with second-degree murder, first-degree robbery and theft, unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, reckless driving, and reckless endangering. Matthews and two others arrested over the weekend, accused in the death of 38-year-old Stephen Hayes of Hood River. The Hood River City Council approved implementing changes to system development charges strategies over the next 5 years, including using analytically based and supportable scaling methodology for residential SDCs. City Finance Director Chris Longinetti says the scaling will allow the city to assess SDCs by the square foot to encourage more affordable housing developments.
Minimum charge is 600 square feet. The standard or one ERU is 2,000 square feet, and then it would increase on a dollar per square foot basis up to 3,000 square feet.
Mid-Columbia Community Action awarded $1 million as part of Governor Tina Kotek's new Housing 360 pilot program announced last week. The funding to support innovative approaches to housing individuals on experiencing homelessness who face mental health challenges, a special focus on tribal communities in the Wasco County region who are disproportionately affected by homelessness. Two Harney County gun owners, backed by Gun Owners of America Incorporated, petitioning the Oregon Supreme Court to weigh in on whether voter-approved gun control measure 114 adheres to the state constitution. Sunny today, highs mid-60s to low 70s, 54 degrees right now in the Dalles, 52 in Hood River.
At Gill's Point S Tire and Auto Service, we believe your tires should be the last thing you have to worry about during winter driving season. With fantastic prices on the best tire brands, Gill's Point S helps you save on what matters most. We make it easy with financing options to help you get the tires you need without breaking the bank, a price match guarantee, and tire warranties honored at our locations nationwide. Shop tires online or come see us. There's no stress with Gill's Point S. Visit us in the Dalles and Hood River or schedule online at gillspointstire.com.
No stress with Point S.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Hi, it's Melissa at Del Carpine Automotive. You know how long 10 minutes is? It's how long it takes me to wrangle my dog into the car most days. Yep, it's also how close we are to our old location. We are now neighbors to adopt a dog. Just a quick drive up the hill. Same team, same top-notch service, and a bigger space to handle all makes and models. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all, and we are family-owned and Columbia Gorge strong.
E-Deals at GorgeRadio.com is where Gorge locals shop for great bargains. You'll save big on local goods and services.
Right now, get a Wet Planet Rafting two-person half-day whitewater rafting tour. Normally $178, now $115. Who wants to save $2,500 on an electric mountain bike? A Giant Rain E+2 Pro full suspension electric mountain bike. Regularly $5,500, now $2,800.
Just go to GorgeRadio.com and click on E-Deals. You won't believe the great buys.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:38 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. White Sand Valley School District Superintendent Rich Polkinghorne is now our guest. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, let's jump in here and talk budgets here. And I guess, first of all, we haven't really talked a lot with you particularly about the district as far as its budget for the upcoming school year and the work on that. I would imagine, first of all, you're still probably kind of waiting on some clarity from the state on a few things, aren't you?
We are, yeah. I was just listening to your conversation with Representative Stevie, and I think he hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of work that the two chambers are working to reconcile on the budget to get it, to put a package together that the governor will sign. So I appreciate the representative's hard work, and hopefully they can reconcile that soon so we get a better sense of, what our budget, revenues will look like for next year. Because we need that before we can really start to build our budget, particularly on the revenue side.
Are you getting any hints? I know you're represented there by your superintendents association, school boards associations, yeah, et cetera. Are you getting any hints from anybody of what to expect?
You know, sort of generally, the conversation around the state is that the governors and the legislators both are, as the representative said, there's a pretty significant budget deficit in the state, you know, anywhere from, you know, $7 to $15 billion. But one of the themes that's come through on all three sides here, the governor and the legislators, has been to, you know, do no harm to K-12 public education. So, you know, we're sort of expecting flat or moderate growth in our budget, in line with the state's inflation price deflator, the IPD, of about 2.5%. So we're budgeting that way. At the same time, you know, like our neighboring districts, we're seeing a decline in enrollment. And so we are making reductions next year on our staffing, but we're doing those, at least right now, those are planned through attrition. So just not hiring people back who are retiring or resigning, not filling positions as we contract with our organization. And that for us this year looks like about two and a half teaching positions that we will not fill for next year.
And we should point out here one of the things the Washington legislature does have to abide by, even though this has been fought in courts, as you well know, Rich, for a long time. Washington State Constitution has language in it requiring the funding of basic education. Of course, the debate has always been what is basic education, but that does set some parameter, at least which it should set a parameter to give you some stability.
That's right. Yeah, the McCleary decision from, I want to say, 10-ish years ago, really put that sort of the Constitution in the state sort of front and center on, you know, adequately funding public education. And that's a subject of debate. You know, is it the, you know, priority of the state to, you know, for the budget? You know, I think the education lobby would say the share of the state's revenues has decreased every year since the McCleary case. The McCleary case jumped the sort of percentage of funds that went to public education up to about 52%. And then since then, it's kind of come back down to where it's now about 42% of the state's overall budget. So that's a debatable piece, but, you know, it's the paramount duty of the government to fund the public education in the state of Washington. So we do have that sort of in our favor, if that's a way to look at it, as it is a priority. It is the paramount duty of the government to fund public education. So we know that we feel sort of assured in some ways that at the state level, our budgets are going to be, like I said, like fairly flat or a little bit up. But we're locally in White Salmon, you know, we are going to see a decrease in revenues but we're going to adjust our belt, to take that reduction, you know, through without having to lay anybody off. Mm-hmm. At least that's the plan right now. And now if they pass a budget that, you know, does not, you know, that's not adequate for us, then that's a different conversation, but that's what we're hearing right now.
Well, let's go back to your facilities planning committee. You'll be fairly fortunate. We've had you on the morning after they meet, and they met again last night.
Yeah.
And
we did.
This time, you were getting, I think, some basic conceptual drawings. I mean, obviously not real specific at this point. On the K-12 campus, yeah, up the current Columbia High School, Henkel Middle School, Stevenson Intermediate School campus, what did you learn?
Well, we didn't see any drawings. That's the one thing we got.
Okay.
Or didn't get last night. Yeah, we were hoping to. The architects that we're working with were out. They did a lot of walkthroughs around the campuses. They spent a whole day here just observing students moving through the buildings, moving through the campus to get a sense of the sort of the flow of the school in the day, to help them begin to sort of conceptually design, even if it's a really rough preliminary design of what might happen. So that was a bit of a bummer, but that'll be our next meeting. So that'll be in May. But last night we really worked on making some, you know, really trying to get to some decision points on a few things as a committee, so we can begin to go out and sort of field test kind of what we've come up with, you know, with some focus groups within the community and getting some feedback from the community. Really the, you know, sort of the big decision or the big recommendation from the committee is this concept of consolidating down from the three schools down to one A-12 campus with two schools on it. So that's going to be a recommendation from the committee. Then we'll work with our ESD partners in the communications department there to begin doing some community input sessions, sort of listening to the community, like explaining here's all the reasons why, and then tell us what you think. So then we can begin to fine tune or adjust or amend that recommendation based on community input. For us, go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I see. Is the big reason why on K-12 that, as you know, we've talked about on this show a number of times now, Whitson Elementary School has gone beyond the point where repairing makes sense. It's outlasted its useful life, etc. Does this just come down to it's the most economical way to replace your elementary school?
It's a couple of factors, and one is, yes, Whitson Elementary School, just to fix the school would be cost prohibitive. But as it is, it doesn't function adequately anyway. It doesn't have a cafeteria. It doesn't have a commons area. It's short on space for gathering for kids for a cafeteria. And there's no kitchen there. So when you start to think about not only repairing Whitson Elementary School, but then putting things into that school to make it function more like more how you would need an elementary school to function in the 21st century, it just doesn't make sense. And that's going to be hard for the community. That school's been there a long time. A lot of people have attended school there. It's our only school that's within the city boundaries. So there's a lot of emotional connection to that school. At the same time, the second part is it just doesn't make economical sense based on how we can access the state assistance for any sort of capital improvement in Washington, in White Salmon. If we just focused on rebuilding Whitson Elementary School, first it's, like I said, cost prohibitive, but second, we leave about $10 to $15 million on the table at the state level that we can't access on any other school because that money has to be directed to a K-8 school, one. So when we look at the sort of broader picture of capital improvement, the cost to repair or replace Whitson, and the ability to tap into about $30 million of state assistance for a program, and we look at our enrollment forecast for the next 5 years, really the consolidation plan seems to make the most sense to the committee of people who is representative of the community. We have school officials on the committee, teachers, administrators. We have community members. We have board members. So it's a good mix of people. And we've been through this process for going on about eight months. And that's as we look at all the input from and the work we've done. That's really become the recommendation.
As you mentioned, you'll do formal studies of what the public thinks of this new kind of formal outreach process.
Yeah.
But this has been out there now for a good month at least, the K-12 concept. Yeah. We talked about on this show a month ago. Anecdotally, are you getting a feel for what people might be thinking out there?
Yeah, I hear from people a lot about their feelings. And I think I sort of captured that. I think people have a lot of emotional connection to Whitson Elementary School, and the current give credit to Principal Todd McCauley there and his staff. They've created such a warm, welcoming, inviting space inside that building that there's a sentimental feeling about sort of abandoning that building. But on the other hand, there's a very clear, like, people understand. I think when you just talk about that building as a facility, it's not adequate. It's not meeting the needs of our kids and staff. We can do a lot better for our students and staff by relocating, maximizing the value, stretching our dollar a lot farther. And we really believe we can transform the current intermediate school, middle school into a vibrant, warm, welcoming place, just like Whitson is. So people are, like I said, a little bit mixed emotions about it, but sort of rationally understand that we can't throw money into Whitson because it's a money pit. We'd be chasing chasing dollars and wasting dollars.
Are there any concerns about the potential? You'll have this wide range of age groups in a fairly close proximity on one campus. Is there any concern about that?
Yeah, we want to put together an educational program, for kids that's appropriate, in the setting. And so as we think about, not so much at the elementary level, a K-5 or a K-6 school, if that's what we do at the current intermediate and middle school is make it a K-5 or K-6 school. That range of age is pretty typical. I think, all the elementary schools in Hood River are K-5 schools, and most elementary schools are. But that's not a big concern. It's really thinking about the secondary program, a 612 campus or a 712 school campus. As we begin to think about how to create a more safe and enclosed school campus at Columbia High School, we also have been very, explicit about, being able to segregate the middle school students from the high school students to the maximum extent possible. So how can we keep those two groups of students, so they don't intermingle with each other?
I just have a couple minutes left. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say
there will be some opportunities, in a 712 or 612 school where we can do a little bit of blending with the eighth graders and ninth graders with some high school classes. So it gives us some efficiency opportunities as well.
And that's what I was going to ask about here. I've just got a couple minutes left here. Our first interview ran long there. But with a K-12 campus, are there efficiencies and savings? I'm thinking particularly at the administrative level, or does that, or even though you've got one campus there, does that really factor into anything at this point?
Well, I don't know, for just a second, but I will say the other efficiency that we see is if we're no longer operating with an elementary school, then, we're not driving buses down there. We're not heating or trying to cool that building. We're not repairing it. We're able to sort of walk away from that facility and not pay utility maintenance, repair. And we also have the potential, right, with less buildings, like we can look at our staffing levels a little bit differently, sharing staff. And it gives us an opportunity to be a lot more strategic around how we adjust our staffing levels with our declining enrollment.
Mm-hmm. So, again, it sounds like you're going to get next month a look at some conceptual drawings for this.
Next month, we're hoping to see some drawings. And then we're also going to begin to strategize around how we're going to do some community input sessions. Mm-hmm. So those are coming up.
8:52 in the morning. We do need to run. White Sand Valley School District Superintendent Rich Polkinghorne has been our guest on the program here. Rich, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you.
Talk to you later. It's 8:52 in the morning on MCT. We thank Rich Polkinghorne, and we'll come back right after this.
For over 20 years, Hood River Dental has delivered winning smiles and has grown with you here in the Gorge. Hood River Dental provides a comprehensive approach to care for both children and adults, including general cosmetic, ortho Invisalign, and core whitening, plus advanced therapies for TMJ and airway management. Is it time to get your teeth checked? Concerned with snoring? Call us at Hood River Dental with locations across from Jackson Park and on Belmont and Hood River. Hood River Dental, family-owned and community-focused. Your comfort is our priority.
Pierstoke Sports is your one-stop shop for adventure in Hood River. Family-owned and packed with the best outdoor gear, we'll get you ready for every season in the Gorge. From rugged hiking trails to thrilling wingfoil sessions and deep winter ski tours, we've got the gear to keep you moving. Discover the Nara Pants, the best all-around hiking and travel pants for women, now in stock. Don't miss out. Stop by and gear up today. Pierstoke Sports, new and used gear for four seasons of adventure.
Big changes are coming to home cooling systems, and waiting could cost you. A lot of AC systems are using outdated refrigerants and are being phased out, making repairs harder and more expensive. A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air, voted Best of the Gorge, is here to help. Right now, get up to $2,000 off a new energy-efficient system, replacing R22 with the latest refrigerant technology. It's better for the environment and your wallet. But don't wait. This deal ends May 31st. Does your system qualify? Call us at A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air today and stay cool for less.
Hi there, this is Michelle from Hood River Supply. Use our Senex Premium Ethanol-Free Fuel for all your outdoor power tools and mowers.
boating, road tripping, or going for a motorcycle ride, treat your ride to the best. Hood River Supply Senex has a dedicated 100% ethanol-free pump, so you'll get better fuel efficiency, engine performance, and protection for your small engine and older cars. Keeping your vehicle fueled and ready for when you're making the great outdoors great, Hood River Supply Senex, powered locally in the Heights and Hood River.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
It is now 8:56 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. As we end to wrap things up here this morning, tomorrow we're talking Providence, Hood River. And on Friday on the show, I know Marty Dane's going to join us in the second half of the show. First half, I think, is Jeff Helfrich, and it is. Oregon State Representative will be on the show. And we come back from the weekend on Monday. We'll talk Port of Hood River and the Dalles Area Chamber of Commerce on the show. Tuesday, the Minge and White Salmon Community Cleanups next weekend. We'll talk about that. And we'll talk to the mayor of the Dalles, Rich Mays, as well. Of course, on Monday, we talk with Lisa Farquharson from the Dalles Area Chamber of Commerce. We'll be talking Cherry Festival coming up next weekend. Also a reminder that the Columbia Gorge Toyota Honda Bi-Coastal Media Easter Egg Scramble for kids 1 to 10 years old, it is coming. It will take place at 11 o'clock Saturday morning, Lewis and Clark Festival Park in the Dalles. So be sure to stop by and check that out. A lot of good candy will be out there for the kids to go get. We'll have separate areas 1 to 2, 3 to 4, 5 to 6, 7, 8, 9 to 10. So that is coming up on Saturday morning at Lewis and Clark Festival Park in the Dalles. Want to remind you of a couple things this evening. Wasco County Commission holding a town hall meeting in Mosier Creek Terrace in Mosier, 5 o'clock today. And in Stevenson, it's a session called Get to Know Your Septic System. Community Informational Forum, presented in collaboration with the City of Stevenson's Public Works Department and Skamania County Environmental Health Services. That'll be at 6 o'clock this evening in the lower level meeting room of the Escamania County Annex Building in Stevenson. Tomorrow, Safe Space Children's Advocacy Center of the Gorge, their open house 3 to 6 at the center on 206 Wasco Loop in Hood River. You can call 541-436-2960 for more information. Clickattack County Comprehensive Plan Community Outreach Meeting 6 to 8 tomorrow evening. They're going to be at the Alder Creek Grange Hall in Bickleton. And that's about all I have for you to talk about this morning. I'm Mark Bailey. Hope you enjoyed the program this morning, and we will talk to you again on Thursday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.